giving us another day. Think about all the families that are dealing with sickness and loved ones that have passed away, especially fathers. We lift up all these requests, Lord, and we know that your perfect will is always done. We thank you for this church, for this time that we have to share together, Lord. Thank you for our pastor. Be with him as he delivers your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we've been through the doctrine of we've looked at the doctrine of God. We've looked at the doctrine of Jesus. All right? What else have we looked at? The church. The doctrine of the church. Now, tonight we're going to look at a doctrine and it's that three-letter word, sin. Nobody likes to talk about sin, right? But the technical term for it is hamartiology. So if that makes me sound like I know something, then it's just I know a big word, amen? But sin, what is sin? And I want to explain it. I want us to look at sin, and I want us to understand it. We live in a world today where we think that because so many people do it, it's okay. Right? Well, just because he does this and that, they all, it's okay. Just because we have a week given it, a month given to it, it's okay. Well, here's our measure. Here's our standard. Our standard is Almighty God. Is it okay with God? All right? What separated us from God? What separates us from God is our sin nature. And we're born with that sin nature. So let's look at some things. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. You have your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 28, and we'll put it on the screen. Ezekiel 28. I want us to look first of all at an. We're gonna progress through this. We'll spend some time tonight. And we'll spend several weeks, Sunday nights on this. But I want you to think about this. And as we look at Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verse 15. Ezekiel 28, verse 15. It says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." Now, This is the reason, it records the reason for Satan or Lucifer's fall. Lucifer was created, when creation took place, the angels were created at that time. The angels were not created till creation, okay? And so they weren't eternal. But they were beautiful. And Satan was he was given a position and a special place. And look at Isaiah 14. I got this new Bible. It's a journaling Bible. See the wide margin on it, and it's genuine leather and everything. And I'm trying to figure out how to use it. It's for home journaling. I'm working on getting another Bible that I preach from with bigger letters. But at home I can go like this, you know. But here, here I need to look like I know what I'm doing, even though I don't. Just ask Miss Creed and she'll tell you. But look at Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's Satan talking. And it says in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the sins of the universe. The sins of the universe. He says, "I will," five times. He said, "I'm going to be like the Most High." And what is that talking about? It's talking about pride. Someone said that you're more like Satan when you have pride in your heart than at any other time. And so Satan rebelled. Satan rebelled, and he sinned against God, and he influenced other angels, which were cast out of heaven with him. Okay? And so, now, that's in the universe. But in the human race, God is not the author of sin. Some people believe that. God's not the author of sin. The sin is the root of man's problem. Sin came by the human race and the devil's deception of Eve and the willing disobedience of Adam. We need to understand that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 tonight. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to use the Bible, amen?
Amen.
The scripture. Genesis chapter 3. Now God's created the heavens and the earth. He's created man. And he's given them the garden to live in. They were created innocent. There was no sin. And so it says in verse three, chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beasts of the field that God had made." Now, the serpent was created a created being, a created animal. What's a snake? Is it a mammal or an animal? What do you call it, a reptile? And what I'm told is, the serpent used to walk around on little legs. Okay? Now, he said, so this serpent, God used this serpent, or Satan used this serpent. And so Satan comes into the serpent, and it says, "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Okay? Now, what's he doing? Well, he's deceiving. He's casting doubt. Understand? And it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, what happens here is he starts to deceive her. And she takes it. God didn't tell her to do that. What's it say back in chapter 2? What's it say? Huh? It said they were to dress it, right? They were to be the gardeners of the Garden of Eden, but they were not to eat of that fruit, right?
Exactly.
Every other tree they could eat. Okay, so what he is doing, he's. And it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, which is the truth, physically. Okay? For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, which is true, and ye shall be as gods, small g, which is true, knowing good and evil. So what he's doing is he's telling them something that's true, that is bad, but he's saying God's keeping that from you. Now, that's the way we are. Satan knows that's the way we are. Every one of my kids, Elizabeth, Ben, Patrick, I tell them, do not do this. You know what they do? They do it. That's how children are. Say, don't do that. What do? They're thinking, why are they not letting me do that? Or they get some friend that eggs them on, like Satan. So now he's got her. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, what'd she do? She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and she did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. Now, who told them they were naked? Before that was okay. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and said, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto Adam, Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, let's make a note there. God knew where they were physically. God's omniscient. Amen? He knows all. What was he asking? He was asking, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? And God asks us that every time we read the Word of God. He asks us every time when we commune with Him. God knows where we are, but He knows where we need to be spiritually. And so we see here, and it says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and was afraid because I was naked and hidden. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat? And the man said, the woman. And that's where the problem began, the woman. I'm just kidding. He said, he's a woman. The woman gave it, it's thou me, and she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled. You know, pass the buck. Yep. Not me, the serpent. Okay? The problem was they became sinners. Now notice what it says. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all cattle and beasts of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go. See, he used to be on, had little legs. Okay? Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You can write it, verse 15. That's the first mention of a redeemer in the scripture, that Jesus would come. The bruise to the heel is not fatal, the bruise to the head is. And one day Satan will be dealt with. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. What happens? It says, hey, childbirth is going to be painful. And ladies, you can explain that. You know that. And it says, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, thou hast, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it, in the days of life, in all thy days of life, thorns and thistles. And let me just tell you something. Every time I get out and have to go out there and hoe those weeds in the garden and spray for those bugs and everything, I say, thank you, Adam. My tomato garden and all that, trying to keep that straight. But that's the effect. So here is where Here is where man became sinners. They became sinners by choice. And because they are sinners, we are born sinners. We have that Adamic nature. Now, notice Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and we're looking at different scriptures tonight. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, look at verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, what? Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Why? Because we have the sin nature. And so now we see the sin, how it affected, became of effect in the universe through Satan and his demons, and Satan rebelled, and then the human race, and then the individual, you and I, we are sinners. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have been born again according to the Bible, you are saved, but you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. And so you're not going to be judged by the law. You're going to be judged by the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross when he died in our place there. Now, I want us to think about, we've looked at the explanation of sin. I want us to think about the essence of sin. Let's forge ahead a little bit further tonight. Sin, I want you to think of this definition. I wrote this down. Sin is the lack of conformity to the moral law of God, either by your actions, your conduct, or your disposition, your character. Think about that. Sin is a lack of conformity to the moral law of God, either by your actions or your disposition. Sin is a transgression of the divine law. Okay? Sin is for us to transgress against anything that is the will of God. See? And so now let's describe sin. I want to describe sin. Let me give you some things tonight, and we'll finish with these tonight. Number one, turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Sin is not a mistake. We make mistakes. Okay? What is sin? Notice what it says in Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is the standard. God is holy. God is without sin. God is perfect. The most common description for sin in the Bible is here. And what it means is sin is missing the mark. Sin is missing the mark. We cannot, in our sinful nature, okay, we cannot, in our sinful nature, live up to the standard of God. We cannot. It's impossible. It's impossible. Another thing, look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It's interesting. These are New Testament verses except for one, but First John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John 3 and verse 4. It says this: whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Now, we heard as we went through John, the book of John, over and over, the Pharisees, they had the law down. The letter of the law. Right? We were given the law not to save us, because the Bible says if we offend in one point of the law, right, we're guilty of all.
Right.
See? So you say, why was the law given to us? The law was given to us to show us our sin, the impossibility of holiness without God. It was as a schoolmaster. I remember when I was in school. You may not have done this, but when I was in school, I kind of acted up. The older I got, I learned how to be the teacher's pet, but behind their back, I acted up. Huh? I used to get in trouble all the time. And there were rules. And you had to follow the rules. You know, every year I had the list. Where's your homework, Patrick? Dog ate it. You don't have a dog. Neighbor's dog. You know, I had all the things down. Right, Frank? That's the way we did it. And when you school, you have rules. You got to be in your seat. You got to sit down. You got to raise your hand if you're going to talk. Right? Now that's all by the way. Now that's a different story. It depends on what school you go to, right? I was downtown surveying a school for a construction company, and this lady's walking down, little ones, little bitties, and she looked at this one little fella and she said, "You step out of line one more time, I'm gonna slap you back in." So I said, "She's got that team. She got those folks, and they don't play down there." Anyhow, that's a different story. But a schoolmaster, and then to show us Christ, to point us to Christ, the law is to point us to Christ. So sin is a transgression of the law. Another thing, get this down. Number three, sin is rebellion against God. That's serious. That's not saying I'm going in another direction from God. That means I'm holding my fist and kind of hold my fist in God's face and saying, I'm not going to listen. It says Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, "For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." That means to resist or oppose authority. One of the biggest problems we have in America today is we do not respect authority. We don't respect authority. And that's a problem. And we have been fed this bucket of lies that authority, we respect authority because they're perfect or because we like them. It doesn't matter who they are. If they're in the position, you respect that position. That's God's way. Amen. Why did God give us an authority structure? He gave it to us in the Word, in the Bible, when He instituted the instituted the family, He put an authority structure. When He instituted the government, He put an authority structure. When He instituted the church, He put in an authority structure. Not because people are better. Why? What is an authority structure for? It is for order. Amen. It is for unity. And when it's observed right and done right, and everybody that has a position follows it right, it's good. But what Satan wants us to do, and what we want to do in our sinful state, is we want to rebel. Right? You as a Christian, you go to a job, and the first thing you do is get with a bunch of people, and they're talking about the boss. You need to go the other way. You're going to ruin your testimony.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Amen. You know, you weren't sent there to like the boss. You weren't sent there to marry the boss. You weren't sent there to be best buds, BFFs with the boss. You were there to clock in and work 8 hours for 8 hours pay. Amen. Right? That scares people when you say stuff like that. Sin, number four, is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Isn't it wonderful to think that when you trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior, when you believe that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and you believe that, and you call on God to save you, He saves you. At that moment, you're declared righteous. That ought to humble us. Because we know what we are. We know what we are inside. We can fake it to everybody else. We can act all holy, holy, boy, my holy around everybody else. But man, we know what we are inside. We know what's going on inside. Amen? And so sin is unrighteousness. 1 John 5 and verse 17. 1 John 5, 17. All unrighteousness is sin. It means crookedness or wrongdoing. And we have a bunch of that going on in America. Number five, and this is the last, and we'll finish tonight. Sin is disobedience. Romans 5:19. Look at this. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One of the greatest endeavors you can have each day is to obey God. Just do what God says. I had a teacher in school. So, okay, if you come in school and you just do what I say, you'll pass this class. You don't have to be smart. You just have to do what I say. So what'd you do? I did what he said. Worked. I like passing. I went home with a failing grade. I was in trouble with my dad. So sin is this. Sin is disobedience. God's word describes mankind as the children of disobedience. What has constantly happened in America? Disobedience. That's why we need to teach our young people to obey. To obey. We need to teach them. To obey is going to be good. To disobey is going to hurt. And it will. It will hurt. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what the God says. Now, what is sin? Sin, let me give these to you again. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is unrighteousness. Sin is disobedience. And Satan rebelled and disobeyed God. And he came in, he is a proponent of sin. And he deceived even Adam and Eve. And when they sinned, we became sinners. They became sinners. And their children were sinners, and their children all the way to us. And we're sinners. We do not have to teach our children to do wrong. It comes natural. Why? Because we are sinners. But thank God that he sent his son. Thank God that he sent his son. To die on the cross for us. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, were laid on him. I can't imagine that. It says in the garden he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Why? Because he began to feel the weight of the sin of the world. Not just yours, not just mine, it's everybody's that was ever born. All those sins were laid on him. You realize that Hitler's sins were laid on Jesus. Miss Sonia, your home country is Ukraine, Russia. You've heard of Mussolini, and you've heard of those people that horrible people. Christ died for them. All the sins of the world were laid on him. The iniquity of us all, the Bible says. And isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and me, and that we could just trust him and have him as our personal Savior, and we are declared righteous. Amen. We'll talk in the coming weeks about dealing with sin and what its effects, the unpardonable sin. But tonight, I want you to think about that thought. What sin is? What sin is? Rebellion, unrighteousness, disobedience, missing the mark And let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit, to give us strength to live not sinless, but to sin less. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, no one looking around. You say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home." Would you slip your hand up? I'm saved. I know Him. I'm born again. You may put your hands down. You say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand, but I'll let you pray for me. When I die one day, I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Would you just slip your hand up, put it back down? Now, if you're a Christian and there's something in your life, there's sin in your life, what God does once He saves us is we are in God's family, but if we sin, we have an advocate. And the Bible says we need to confess our sin to Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's keep our accounts clean. Amen. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart and you come. Be seated. Let's have somebody come get the offering plates. Let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Good to see everybody. Let's have a good week. And some folks may be calling you about vacation Bible school to help with some things. We're working on those, and so get ready for it. Pray for it. Amen? Amen? Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. Good to see everybody. Frank, close for us, would you?